This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Let us pray. God, we know that Jesus sent out His disciples without purse, luggage, or sandals. All too often we find ourselves clinging to possessions we don't really need, looking for safety by avoiding risk, bearing heavy burdens that slow us down. Forgive us for our reluctance to travel lightly. Heal us of our pain. The Apostle Paul encouraged the Galatians not to grow weary, but to use every opportunity to work for the good of all. And yet, our hectic schedules, competing demands, cynicism and doubt, erode our commitment and leave us feeling burned out. Forgive us for any hollow excuses we're tempted to make. Heal us of our exhaustion. We confess that, like the warrior Naaman, we sometimes think You only perform great, complicated acts in flashy and dramatic ways. We then fail to see how You are at work in the simple tasks and ordinary experiences of everyday life. Forgive us for our misunderstanding. Heal us of our sightlessness. Restore our vision. Refocus us. Renew us. Amen. Happy Independence Day. These past 10 days, I was blessed to have an experience in the Episcopal Church for her priest that is called Credo. It's an acronym that stands for clergy. I always forget it. Clergy, reflection, educational, and discernment opportunity. And it is something that every 7 years, all the priests who are part of the pension fund are invited to go to, funded by the church pension fund, where they bring in experts in every area of your life. Physical health, spiritual health, mental health, educational health, ministry health, and relationship family health. It's an incredible gift that the church gives to her priests. But it is, at the same time, a real challenge, because it is one of those ways, just like if you go on a retreat or any kind of an experience like that with a weekend, you are called to really deeply look at what you're doing with your life. And it is, for me, always a wonderful time. This was the second time I've been able to experience it, and I come out of that experience with an incredibly grateful heart for all of you. Because there are many priests who I meet on these things that come from all over the nation and beyond who don't have such blessed situations, who come there really needing to be healed. And it is a powerful experience to be there when a lot of times that healing does take place for them. It's about refocusing. It's about renewal. And that's what this day is about. For us as a country, to think about those who came before us, sacrificed incredibly, for us to sit where we sit today. This is not just about the fireworks and the hot dogs and the hamburgers. This is truly for us to reflect upon the gift that we have been given and what we are doing with that gift. The readings we have today give us a chance not only to look at reflection as a country, but even at a deeper level, at the true Christian freedom that we have been given. And I think the theme is, it's not about the fireworks. God doesn't always want to use fireworks for us to be renewed. This place where we stayed was a real blessing because Bishop Swing, the former Bishop of California, was a very visionary man and got these 300 acres in the middle of Napa Valley in California. It's in the middle of the wine country, and yes, we did get to sample it. just a gorgeous spot. But one of the things I learned that I didn't know about that industry is that for certain special wines, the grapes that are grown have to be grown in soil that is really not very good soil. That the ruggedness of the soil impacts the quality of the grape. The ruggedness, the difficulty of the soil impacts the quality of the grape. Is there an analogy there for us or what? The difficult things that we oftentimes have to go through give us the opportunity to come out on the other end as a stronger, as a more committed person. I experienced that in so many ways on this retreat with different priests who were dealing with just some horrible things that had happened to them in their ministry. And to see them work through that and the healing that comes through that is an amazing thing. I've seen it in all of you, what you have gone through and go through in your lives, and you come out on the other end as a saint of God. This is what's going on in the readings today. I love the story of Naaman from 2 Kings. Naaman, this powerful, this successful man. The author tells us and sort of sets the stage that there's these two countries. We know Israel. Then there's this powerful Aram. And this country had taken some of the slaves out of the people of Israel. They've become slaves. Naaman is a powerful warrior in Aram. Successful. The king likes him very much as a result of that. He's a good warrior. But there's a problem as we hear about Naaman. He's got a type of leprosy. Now in those days, leprosy didn't just mean what we would refer to it, but it had to do with all kinds of different skin diseases. But the point here is the fact that no matter what kind of leprosy you had, the worse that the situation got, especially if it was on your face, you became more and more isolated. And this, I'm sure, is what is going on with Naaman. He is becoming more and more this powerful, this successful, this strong warrior, and there's something that he just can't overcome. So, this is where the story gets so important for our learning. This powerful, successful man who becomes the instrument of his healing. It's this powerless, simple slave girl. She's the one who knows that there is this prophet, Elisha, in Israel who can heal him. She happens to be working for Naaman's wife, and so she mentions this. Word gets back to the king. The king of Aram writes a letter to the king of Israel because he wants to take care of his wonderful warrior Naaman. And what happens? The king of Israel takes it all the wrong way. Because he feels like, oh my gosh, there's no way I can heal this guy. It's a setup. Here's what's going to happen. They're going to say, you couldn't heal Naaman, so therefore we're attacking, we're taking over your country. And he jumps to all these conclusions. He's tearing his garments. He's in mourning already. And then Elisha comes along and says, well, why are you tearing your garments? Just have the guy come over here and I'll take care of this. And so this is what happens. Now this is the great story. He comes to Elisha's house with all of his horses and his chariots. Now, update that to 2010. Okay, he's got his Mercedes, he's got his Hummer, he's got the trailer behind him. You name it, he's got it with him. And he shows up and he expects like he's going to get the royal treatment. Rings the buzzer. And what happens? Elisha doesn't even come out. He just sends out one of his messengers. Tell him to go in the Jordan and wash 7 times. And Elisha, he wants the fireworks. Here is this powerful man. Here is this successful man that wants the big show. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. Somewhere along the line here, whether it's the succession of events through the messenger of the servant girl, the lowly servant girl, through not having Elisha come out to him, through this succession of events, somehow he's finally going to get the idea after the other servants talk to him that, you know, if he told you to do something real difficult, you'd have gone and done it to be healed. All he's telling you is go down to the Jordan and wash 7 times and poof, you're done. And he does it. And he's healed. Now the point of that story is this. We all want healing. We all want things to happen in our lives that we want to happen. But sometimes we want to tell God how we want it to happen as well. And the message that Naaman gives us is, yeah, we'll get refocused, we'll get recentered, we'll be healed, but God's going to do it in God's way. And this is what happens. This powerful man who thought, I can do this myself. He can't. And he has to surrender himself and let go of that power and control and let God have the power and control. I think it's a very appropriate message for us who live in a country where we pull ourselves up by our bootstraps, we celebrate and we make popular those who are rich and famous. And sometimes I think we think Jesus entreated to us not to take a bag or a purse or sandals. Well, then the point is we want to go out there so we can find the purse and the sandals and the money and everything else. And we need to be refocused as well. And this is what Naaman teaches us about our journey with God. St. Paul teaches us the same thing today. You know, Paul could have boasted about so many things in his life. Think of what you know about Paul. He was a Roman citizen. He talks about that in his writing. Man, he could have made a big boast about that. He didn't. He could have boasted about being a good Jew. I mean, he talks about being circumcised on the 8th day and he makes all this point about his Jewishness. He didn't choose to boast about that. He was one of the most educated men of his day. We know about that through Gamaliel, who taught him and all these things. He was an incredibly smart man. He could have boasted about everything he knew. He didn't choose to boast about that. What does he choose to boast about? May I never boast of anything except the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ. Paul's got it right. Paul knows it's not about him. Paul was brought low, if you remember his life story, but he's to the point of realizing that once we can let go and let God take over, that's when things start to happen. You know, there's a great movie that's out called Invictus. And if you haven't seen it, I recommend it to you. It tells the story of Nelson Mandela in South Africa and with the World Cup on. It's a very timely thing. But it tells the story of sort of the return and the bringing into freedom of those local people. But there's one particular scene in it that's very powerful to me where the old white rugby team, and they had their name and they had their way of doing things, and the black people come in and they say, we were so mistreated, we're getting rid of this name of the team, we're getting rid of this team. They vote unanimously that everything for that country with that is out the window. And in comes Nelson Mandela. And he says, I know you voted unanimously, but I'm your leader now and I'm telling you you need to reverse this. Because if you get rid of all this, basically you are going to oppress them just the way you were oppressed. You want freedom? The way you're going to get freedom is doing that which you really don't want to do. They're going to get what they prayed for, but not in the way they thought they would get it. This gospel we just heard, he sends them out, 70, representing all people, were all sent out. 70 nations, it was thought in those days, was the totality of humanity. So the symbolism here, we're all sent out without bag, without purse, without sandals. And it ends up that, yes, they have this power. Here's the word again. Power over demons. They can heal. They go out. Boy, they're having a good time out there zapping all these people and they're immediately healed and they come back. Jesus, even the demons are submitting to us. Isn't this great? Don't miss the significance of where this gospel ends. It's all well and good, Jesus says, that you can do that, but don't set your hearts on that. Rejoice that your names are written in heaven. Remember that it's God's power. Remember that the gift we have, whether we consider it the gift of freedom in this country or the greater gift of Christian freedom that we've been given in Jesus Christ, that Paul calls us to boast in that and nothing else. Remember that it is in God's power that we have our own strength. And as we continue to be like those grapes that sometimes need to have that rough soil so that we can come out the other end with that incredibly good wine, may we look to Him to continue to give us that strength as we go forward each and every day. Amen.